Thanks for tuning in to EHS Today's podcast series. I'm Laura Walter, Associate Editor of EHS Today Magazine. In this edition, we're turning the microphone over to the experts at ProAct Safety to discuss how to effectively transition from safety incentive programs to safety reward programs. ProAct Safety has delivered weekly Safety Culture Excellence podcasts since January 2008. You can download, listen, or subscribe to these podcasts by visiting safetyculturexcellence.com. As always, for the latest news, insights, and best practices for environment, health, and safety leaders, visit www.ehstoday.com.
Welcome to Safety Culture Excellence. This week's topic, how to transition from safety incentive programs to safety reward programs. My name is Sean Galloway, and I'm proud to be your host. Greetings from New Orleans, Louisiana. We received a great question via email that we'd like to address this week. The email said this: I was listening to various podcasts on safety incentive and reward programs, and I have a question. We are currently attempting a safety incentive program, but it's not the most effective thing we've done. I think a reward program would benefit us better at this stage. My question is, how can we transition from a safety incentive program to a safety reward program? For this week, Terry and I will try to offer our experiences that have been helpful with our clients. Typically, we work with companies to help them assess their existing programs and performance management systems, then assist in customizing either site-specific or organizational guidance for incentive and reward programs for safety. I hope this week we're able to offer some helpful, quick ideas that you can self-implement if you, too, are struggling with this issue.
An incentive is like a carrot that you dangle in front of people and say, if you will do this, we'll give you this. A reward can be the same thing as the carrot, but it's not announced beforehand and it's not set up with a set of preconditions to get it. The reward is something that comes strictly after the fact. And so there are advantages to going to reward systems rather than incentive systems. They're not necessarily or theoretically more effective. They're just easier. Incentive systems, as we pointed out in that other podcast, are incredibly complex, and a lot of really good, smart people have made incredibly big messes of them because they are so complex and so fraught with difficulty. Reward systems are basically easier. And if done correctly, can be as effective without causing some of the negative side effects. So the question was, we've got an incentive program out there. We're already dangling carrots in front of people. And we didn't get any details on the question here of exactly what their incentive programs are. But some of the ones that we see out there in the world, they really kind of fall into two categories. One is what I call results-based incentives, where they say, well, if we don't have any accidents for a certain period of time, we'll give everybody this, or, you know, if we get our recordable rate down below this, we'll give somebody this, based on results. The more effective incentive programs are based on the activities that produce the results. So we have companies that say, if you attend all your safety meetings, if you participate in safety programs, and they set other criteria for behavioral, you know, or pre-accident things, you know, do the activities we think will prevent safety and we'll reward you for that.
Or what are the behaviors incentive that lead to good safety performance? And
sure, and they're trying to define those things and incentivize those. Now, here's a suggestion for you, and this is kind of a formula that we've used at a number of organizations that has worked very well. First of all, I was really, really pleased to hear the word transition, because what causes problems so often is that people stop one program and start another, and don't think that stopping one and starting another is a transition. It's not. It's stopping and starting, and there's a difference between transitioning from one to the other and just stopping dead in the middle of something. Anytime you have an incentive program and you stop it, you will create a demotivator. It is absolutely inevitable. You will demotivate your workforce, and anything you do after that will happen in a climate of demotivation, which isn't the best climate for doing virtually anything. So I was terribly pleased to hear that word transition. Now, how do you transition? Well, transition is steps from one toward another. So what's your first step? If you have incentives in place, this is what I would recommend. Find a desired result that's not already being incentivized. Find something out there that you would like for your organization to accomplish, and if possible, something with a finite timeline. In other words, 90 days from now, we would like to accomplish this. We would like to go to 100% attendance or whatever it is at something that we're working on, and do not offer an incentive for that. Simply challenge the workforce and say, can we get from where we are to there? Will you help us? And motivate this. Make it an organized program. Form a team around it, if you like. Put a team in charge of it. Give them some communications tools to get out and reach the rest of the people. Make this a theme at all your safety meetings, in all your safety communications and newsletters, whatever you have, bulletin boards, TVs and break rooms, you know, any media that you have, communicate this, set it as an organizational goal, and set it as a challenge. Can we do this? And call it the safety challenge, if you like, and say, here's our safety challenge. Can we get from point A to point B in X number of days or months or whatever it is? And don't offer any incentive. Ask people to do the right thing for the right reason. Now, have a reward in mind, but don't let anybody know, first of all, that there is one, and secondly, the details of what it's going to be. Let the organization accomplish a goal and celebrate the accomplishment of that goal and reward people for it. Now, again, if you didn't hear that podcast, listen to the guidelines for rewards. Rewards and bribes are not the same thing. You know, you don't have to spend a fabulous amount of money. It doesn't have to be a trip to Hawaii. It can be something thoughtful and symbolic and other things to make this reward effective.
You know, there's also another podcast that I think would be helpful, one that we recorded, gosh, I think it was in 2008, maybe mid-2008, called The Anatomy of Change. And one of the things that you keyed in on in the beginning is that you're going to create some sort of resistance. You're going to create some sort of pushback when you try to pull something that's already in place. It's critical that you understand the perceptions of the current programs before you go about trying to change them. Because you could be creating or you could be engaging a perception that this would be a desired change. Or you also could create resistance to the change. If people are enamored with this and you're trying to pull this, this is viewed as massive change. And as we've talked about multiple times, people don't resist change. They resist forced change. And if this is forced upon them, they're going to feel a sense of change. I just got a new laptop. And I got this new laptop, and because my old one, I've had it for several years, and it's starting to no longer be as effective, and I got this new program, and I wasn't expecting that Microsoft Windows was going to be updated for the Office program, so I was resisting a forced change, and it's been difficult for me. I'm working through this now. I'm seeing a counselor, and I'm laying on a couch, and I'm spending a lot of money. Kidding aside, but this is a forced change that I had to deal with because I wasn't expecting this.
And you're the technical guy, and I'm the technophobe, you know, and you're having a tough time with this. I've just decided never to get a new laptop again.
There we go. We're going to go back to transparencies. And
Especially if my new laptop is an incentive and not just a reward, right?
There you go.
Sorry, awkward transition there. You know, one of the things that you say very often too, Sean, and it's very true in this, it's 5% what you do and 95% how you do it. You know, the thing that you've got to do, if you're going to transition from incentives to rewards, you know what you have to do, and you're not going to change it. You know, you can spend it a little different, you can flavor it a little different, communicate it a little bit differently, but it's not so much what you're going to do, it's how you're going to do it. And this is the recommendation.
Well, before you get into that, you know, something I'd like to kind of throw out there is, you know, we work with a lot of organizations, you know, in a workshop environment, helping them see what these opportunities are. And sometimes we're called in because senior leadership doesn't understand the opportunity here. Now, we've also got situations to where the incentive programs are run by hourly workforce. So you may need to give them some sort of information about how these differ and where these opportunities lie. So either whether you're engaging somebody as an external party, get together with the people. If there is a safety committee that kind of runs this, or if this is run by a union, for example, you may want to get together with them in a workshop so where they can see what these opportunities are before you offer them the creative input and the dialogue that's necessary to transition in this way.
Oh, yeah. Any of the stakeholders that are involved in this need to be involved in the change over a period of time. But I think the real secret that I've seen in transitioning from one to the other is establishing the one that you're moving to before you step away from the one you're moving from. And if you show people that rewards really do work, if you show people that you're not talking about taking away their incentives, you're talking about changing the way they're given, you know, if they see it's the same amount of whatever it is out there to begin with, it's just going to be given based on different criteria in a different way, that almost always is the best way to transition. Now, again, you know, one of the things that came to mind when you said that about involving the stakeholders, I saw a manager at one of our client companies just a couple of years ago get really excited because he had benchmarked with one of their competitors in their field, and he had seen them giving away some really spectacular safety things, you know, like color TVs and other things. He said, well, we're just giving these, you know, $50 Walmart gift certificates instead. And he came back to his guys and he says, let's get away from these little podunk gift certificates and go to the big screen TV. And he had a rebellion on his hand almost instantly because one of the things that he failed to really consider was that these TVs don't go to everybody. They're more of a lottery system, you know, and someone's going to win a big screen TV. Guess what everybody else is going to get? You know, and when he talked to these people about these little Walmart gift certificates, it was amazing to me how many people were using those to build a tool set in their garage or were using them. You know, some of these went to Christmas, some of them went to vacation and other things, you know, and they were more valuable to them than the bigger item that he would have thought would have been more motivational and inspirational. Now, the illustration I gave illustrates something else too, and that's the fact that those things that they were giving, those Walmart gift certificates, had quit being any kind of an incentive for quite a while. Because, you know, one of the definitions of effectiveness and rewards and incentives is that it really makes a difference in what you're doing, and it doesn't become expected. It doesn't become mundane. It doesn't become routine. And one of the ways that we test a lot of times in organizations to see if that has happened is we go in and we ask people, what do you do with your safety bonuses? And if they've got a plan for what they're going to do with their safety bonuses and they're expecting that they're going to get them, they're no longer a reward or an incentive. They're no longer making a difference in the performance of the person in the field. And that's one of the things you don't want to allow to happen.
The organizations that have been really, really, really good in safety and the ones that sometimes have that fatality out there, it's maybe because they lose their sense of vulnerability out there. If you continue to get a safety incentive or reward like that on a frequent basis that keeps reminding you, we're good, we're good, we're good, we're good, sometimes adds to, you know, a loss of sense of vulnerability there.
Oh, I think it almost inevitably does if it's a team incentive. Right. Now, if it's based on individual performance, performance the individual can control that directly influences their risk factors in the workplace, then I think that it's a little different ballgame. But how many organizations really do that? You know, organizations go to team-based incentives largely because it's easier for the organization to administer than individual incentives are. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that they very often do it. I think there's also this mistaken concept out there in the world, well, if we make it a team-based incentive, there'll be peer pressure. And I shouldn't have called that a mistaken impression. It's absolutely real. What's mistaken is the way it works and exactly the influence that it has. And how many places have we gone that we saw team incentives just essentially obliterate accurate reporting. You know, no one would dare report something that didn't have to be reported because of the aura of losing the whole team, you know, their incentive pay over a period of time. That's not what you want to have happen. And again, that's one of the problems with an incentive versus a reward. If an organization is challenged to achieve something and they achieve it and they're rewarded for achieving it, it takes away most of the problematic areas that incentives have in them. You know, of dangling the carrot out there in front of people. But again, the formula, how do you transition from incentives to rewards? Step number one, establish a reward that works. And then go to the stakeholders in between and ask for their input and their help in transitioning from what they have seen as incentive programs before to the more reward-based, and keep it apples for apples, keep it equal. You know, if you have a budget for safety rewards and incentives and you're going to change, make sure that every dollar that was in incentives gets into the rewards program and it's not viewed as a takeaway. And again, you know, I think the answer to this question was largely in the question, in that word transition.
And I think that, you know, when we look at it, if you're going to reach that level of excellence, you have to look at what your strengths are and you have to look at what your weaknesses are. You know, but if you think about it, Dean Spitzer said that most organizations don't get what they want because they don't measure what they want. And I think to reach that level of excellence, you have to measure what you want. And in order to reach that level of excellence, you have to see what your strengths are and work towards improving those strengths to a level of excellence. And, you know, of course, you shore up your weaknesses there. But if you're going to be successful here, customize this rewards program to your organization, because what your strengths are going to be different than other people in your industry. Same with your weaknesses. So don't go out there and buy an off-the-shelf rewards program to try to improve. Go out there and tie those rewards to the desired levels of performance that you're after.
Exactly true. And, you know, since you brought up Dean, one of the other things that he said consistently, I think, really applies here also, and that is when you do rewards well, they become the ultimate incentive, because people know that even though you're not dangling a carrot, you're asking them to do the right thing for the right reason, there probably will be a reward. It probably will be thoughtful and will be something in line with what they've seen in the past. So they don't make the decision, do I do this for that incentive or do I not do it? They always do the right thing for the right reason, and the reward reinforces that, truly reinforces it at the end.
Drucker said success almost always makes obsolete the very behavior that created it. Here's another layer of complexity. The performance measurement system you're putting in place here, this reward system that you're transitioning towards, it's probably going to change. So consider that it can't be something that you plug into your organization. It has to be something that's collaboratively created internal in your organization with the flexibility to change over time, because after all, everything changes.
Sure. And if you don't put a real and accurate measurement system in place, don't expect the reward or incentive to ever be more effective than the measurement system it's based on.
Until next time, remember, in safety, prevention trumps reaction. For more information on safety culture excellence, or if you have a topic to suggest, please email us at podcast@proactsafety.com.
On behalf of the EHS Today staff, I'd like to thank PROACT Safety for sharing this valuable information. Learn more by visiting safetyculturexcellence.com or proactsafety.com. Until next time, work well and work safe.